Ben Fagan here with another episode of Career Cash, the podcast. And on this episode, I'm joined by one of my closest friends and one of my former teammates, Rigo Beltran. Rigo is now the acquisition specialist at Peak Real Estate. And in our conversation, we talk about how he went about expanding his comfort zone and seeking a career that made him do that, how to sell in a genuine way by understanding your why and the why of the people around you, and why it's so important to learn from industries that aren't your own. It's an awesome conversation. Let's get to it. So I don't really care about your actual story, to be quite honest. Let's go ahead and get into what you do on a daily basis here in the real estate game, since you most recently have broken into that.
So pretty much every day for me is I wake up and I talk to potential sellers. So my job is to buy property for the company that I work for. So we're buying single family houses, small multifamily houses all over the state of Florida and Georgia. So pretty much I get up, talk to prospects all day, try to figure out if I can help them, try to figure out if I can buy their house, and that's pretty much it.
So the only part of your story that I do want to hear about, and I do think is interesting, is the fact, these are all jokes, by the way, but is the fact that real estate was not something that you necessarily went to school for, you got into it, something that you found after you graduated, after you finished playing baseball, you did financial advising for a period of time as well, and then you found yourself in real estate. So what was that kind of journey like navigating through, you know, your different industry or interests to kind of end in this industry?
Yeah. So for me, I really think the journey was not at all intentional, really. It's just kind of, I knew sort of the very vague picture of what I was looking for out of my career. I didn't know exactly what the vessel was going to be to get me there. I knew I wanted to go into a career where I could earn a relatively good amount of money. For several reasons. And I wanted to get into a career that was a little bit out of my comfort zone. And I think a lot of people can probably relate to that when you say, oh, you're in sales, which is pretty much what I'm doing. A lot of people are just like, ugh, like, I just don't want to do that. Like, you're going to, hear it from people all day. And nobody really likes a salesperson, stereotypically, and so I knew that was going to be something outside of my comfort zone, but I also knew that for me, it was going to be important to get into a position where I could really learn how to be influential in the way that I wanted and still be myself, but ultimately still be able to sell not only a product, but a vision, because ultimately that's, the direction I want to go in life is to be somebody who can lead other people. For me, I knew I was looking for that. And I think, different things along the way I got pulled into because that was kind of the general direction I wanted to go. And I did first start off in sales as a financial advisor. I was selling life insurance, health insurance, different financial products like that. And I came across a lot of clients that either were becoming wealthy or had become very wealthy from something else and then put their money into real estate. And it just found it to be a common denominator between a lot of people. So through those connections, I ended up finding the person who ultimately hired me into this role.
So what does that mean? I like that. That kind of stood out to me as selling a vision. And because I think, like you mentioned, that there is this kind of stereotype around selling, being a salesman, and it kind of comes with not always an accurate, but kind of like a slimy feel to it. So how have you kind of combated that? And I think you nailed it on the head, is made it kind of your own by selling that vision. So what is that vision? What does that look like? How do you go about selling what that vision is?
Yeah, well, I think the first and most important thing is you have to understand how to be, I don't know if it's the most important thing, but for me, I think it's a foundation, is you have to understand how to be yourself within that. And it's not about the product. It's not about the sale or the close. It's really about you as a human being connecting with this other person and trying to figure out how you can help them out. And depending on what your line of work is, pretty much every salesperson can relate. Sometimes you're just, your product or the thing you're trying to give them is just not what they need. And even me, in my role as being the person who's buying the house, I'm literally trying to give people money. But sometimes that still isn't always the thing that makes the most sense for them. So I think it's about identifying, who you are as a person, how you want to deal with people, how you would like to be treated. And then also within that, learning how you can help people in your individual role. I think for me is the biggest thing about sales, not coming off, you know, in a sleazy, pushy type of way. You don't want to be a product pusher. And I think for me, the other biggest thing I've learned is when you're trying to find people to sort of support a vision that you have, or when you're trying to lead people into a certain direction, you really have to understand the people themselves. It's really not about you. And I think I've noticed that when I look back on some of the best leaders I've ever encountered in my life and people who I've worked under or played under in my baseball career, they don't make it about themselves. You know, they're there for you. They're there in a service capacity. And I think when you approach it with that mindset, you're going to start to find that the answers reveal themselves to you when you ask the right questions. And that's, for me, been one of the biggest things I've learned from this role. And it just, you know, when I started to come to those realizations, it just felt more natural. And I found that, you know, I still have a long way to go, but I found that typically clients are sort of gravitated a little bit more towards me as opposed to me constantly chasing people, so to speak.
What was the process like in kind of narrowing down or finding your identity, like you're saying? Because I know it's not something that you just wake up and be like, oh, got it. You know, so what was, you know, were there some challenges along the way with kind of finding it? And like you mentioned, you're not there yet, all the way there yet. And I don't think any of us will ever be there. But what has that process been like to find your identity where you are right now?
Yeah, it's been pretty tough because I think even when I first started in financial advising and being a financial planner and selling those type of products, it was very difficult because I think what you really run into in that industry specifically is the people that you're trying to do business with and that you're ultimately trying to grow your book of business is people that you know. So it's like your first degree connections, your second degree connections, and then trying to build out your network from there. And it's really about, I don't know, it's just you deal with a lot of rejection in that industry up front. And in any sales, you deal with a lot of rejection. But that rejection for me stung a lot because, you know, it's people that I grew up playing baseball with. It's, you know, family members. It's people that are really good friends that just start ignoring you because they think you're going to try to sell them something and they dodge your calls, don't text you back, you know, things like that. That it sucks, man. It sucks. And it's not for everybody. And I think going through that made me really realize, like, wow, is it me or is it them? And, you know, ultimately, I think the answer is it's a combination of both. But I think going through that trial by fire really led me to do a lot of, one, soul searching, and two, a lot of research. And I think the biggest thing for me, I knew how I wanted to make people feel, but I didn't know how to do it. And I think from my research that I've done and different sources of information, different people that are out there giving this information, Chris Voss is a great one. They really teach you how to connect with other people, and they teach you how to, I guess, allow for you to be yourself in that setting and really just learn to influence people in the way that it just made sense. There's certain things that you pick up that people say that it just clicks with you. And so, I mean, for everybody, it's different. So I'm hesitant to say like, this is exactly how I am myself because I'm not the same person as everybody else. But I think it's from soul searching and then going out there and finding other people who are leaders in that industry. For me, it's sales, that are doing what you want to do. And you're going to start hearing different pieces of advice, different pieces of guidance that you're going to connect with. And then you need to go and implement that.
So we, for the people who care at home, me and you keep in regular touch. And in one of our prior conversations, you shared something that I thought was really cool is I think you sent me a video or something along the lines of that, where it was this concept of learning from different industries and going out and picking and choosing, you know, from things. And you kind of alluded it to with, you know, Chris Voss and talking to different people. But what is that whole strategy about? How can you, if you're in sales or in real estate, how are you going into, you know, hospitality and learning something? How are you taking something away from baseball or the stuff you did with, you know, the financial advising kind of stuff? How do you go about taking things from different industries, especially when that industry doesn't seem to have any like surface level connection to what you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a big thing for me. The biggest carryover has been just in the sense of in business and in sports and different things like that, you're still dealing with people. And I definitely think that's been one of the blessings in my life, has been being able to be in so many different rooms with so many different types of people. between my background in sports, between obviously being a business major and then ultimately going into business, working with Mr. Hildebrand up there on the third floor with the Social Impact Lab was another great experience. And it's a totally different world from anything I had seen before. And just, you know, I really felt like I found my people up there. But yeah, I think when you get into those sort of echo chambers or like people that all think like you, you start to all end up coming up with the same types of solutions, the same ideas. And I think when you get out of that, you realize, holy cow, you know, and I think some of the biggest innovations in the world we've seen have been people who brought talents from a completely different industry. And it's like a way of thinking that people in that world had been doing forever. And it's just like, oh my God, this is so applicable to real estate, you know, for example, or to whatever it is that I'm doing. And I think that for me has just been foundational in carrying those things over from one industry to another. You know, baseball is a great example of teamwork. And I think working together, leadership, those types of capacity or those types of skills, teamwork, leadership, things like that are things that everybody, it's an easy example, right? Everybody can say, oh my gosh, well, of course, you know, you're on a sports team, you learn how to work with other people. And you sort of take that for granted. But, you know, when you get into business, a lot of times you're going to be doing group projects. They're going to not just be you in charge of a project, but it's going to be several people. And you need to learn how to get your points across. You need to learn how to listen to other people. You know, all those different skills that are going to translate over from baseball for me or from sports.
So has there been anything that you've noticed as of late that you've kind of picked up from another industry, an example of that outside of like the teamwork aspect that you kind of implemented into it from that separate industry into something that you're doing now?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I'm trying to think of something off the top of my head, very specific. I know with being in the Social Impact Lab, one of the things that we did constantly was with the Ambassador Corps program, where you go overseas and you work for either a government organization or an NGO, or you go to work with a nonprofit startup, things like that, where you're going into a company for a specific amount of time and you're working for them. Usually it's about 2 months or so for the summer. And there's a lot of training that they did before we went into that to learn how to say, hey, you know what? I'm coming into a new business here. I'm going to be an intern, essentially. And, you know, young people in college, a lot of people, especially the ones who are ultimately selected for Ambassador Corps, very ambitious people, people that have a lot of opinions and thoughts and ideas. And we can get really excited to jump into that company and say, this is everything that, you know, I think we're doing wrong as a company. And this is all my ideas of how to fix it. And we're just going to take this to the moon. And then you realize you've only been there for 3 days. People don't necessarily know your name yet, and they don't know really anything about you. And so you have to learn how to sort of integrate yourself into somebody else's world. And I think that's a very, very important skill. And it's something that we were trained on a lot. And I think in my industry, for example, a lot of the people that we're buying houses from are people that own a lot of different properties. It's not just we're buying the house that they live in. Most of the houses are rental properties. So these people don't live there. They rent it out to somebody else. And a lot of those people have a bunch of those properties, maybe 10 or 15 or 20. And, you know, so that's really a business. If you're somebody who owns 10 rental properties, you're running a business. And for me to get on the phone with somebody and within the first 5 minutes, tell them exactly what they're doing wrong, why this makes no sense for them to hold on to this property and why they should sell it to me is not really the best idea, you know? So you need to learn similarly how to sort of insert yourself in that equation in a way that's not going to rub people the wrong way, and learn where it is to find the spots that you can inject some thoughts and ideas. And hopefully gain some influence with those type of people. And I think in sales, traditional sales, you know, people that get into that sometimes think that it's going to be just push. And I think that whole process with being in social impact and incorporating myself into nonprofits for very minute amounts of time really helped me a lot to be a good listener and to be a good integrator. Right off the bat, sort of cold turkey. So I think that was a great example for me in my own personal life of how that translated.
Now, so how do you go about doing that? How do you go about, you know, coming off in a genuine way when you're trying to integrate yourself? Because I agree definitely with that. Is you, sales often feels like push in the traditional sense, like you mentioned. So how can you do it in a genuine way and have that conversation. I know you mentioned listening, and I have a, you know, I'm going to take a stab at it. That's a, you know, might play a big role. You know, how much of it is listening? How much of it is something else? You know, what does that whole idea look like?
Yeah, I mean, it's listening, but anybody can listen. You know, it's really about, again, I said it earlier, but it's about the mindset, right? You have to go into that situation knowing what you're looking for. You know, and I think you're not just sitting there but listening, but you also have to ask the right questions. And I think that that's another really important thing, because you could think, you know, for example, that, hey, you know, the way that we are targeting our clients in this business, or the way we're looking for customers, we're going after small customers that, you know, they're only going to do one deal with us, and it's going to be maybe for a $30 sale, and then they're never going to do another deal with us again. We should be going after a big player where we can sell them multiple, you know, products. Like, for example, if we sell coffee, and we're going to say, oh, why are we selling to, you know, an individual consumer who's going to maybe buy 10 cups of coffee a month or 10 bags of coffee a month? Why don't we go sell to a coffee shop that's going to buy, you know, 150 a month? And, you know, you might think that, but then you realize there's a whole reason why they're doing that. And it might not be for the bottom line. It might be the bottom line, you know, but you don't know, one, what the reason is, and two, why they're thinking that way and what their ultimate impact is. So you really have to get to the why in your questioning to figure out what's motivating people. Because a lot of times we assume, and I think that's why, you know, we don't really make the best connections with each other all the time, because we're making a lot of assumptions that we never bothered to just ask about.
Like right there, I just assumed that it was all listening, and there's more to it than just listening. So, I know I'm the best at that. So, simple yes or no question for you here. Have all of you, and I'll ask a follow up after this, but simple yes or no, have all of your sales calls been successful?
No.
Okay. So with that, and I had a feeling you would say that, how do you go about not taking things personally when they don't go your way? Because you mentioned that earlier in this conversation, but I think that's such an interesting thing and a very difficult thing at times, especially if it's a career or something you're passionate about, where you have that emotional tie to it. When things don't go your way or you're getting those no's, how do you not take that personally?
Oh, because it's not about you. It's just not about you. And I think that the more you think life's about you, the harder your life's going to be, man, honestly. And I'm very much prone to that, which is why, you know, this has been a hard lesson for me, honestly, because, you know, I do tend to take things very seriously sometimes. You know, there's just, everybody has their things. And I, for some reason, that's just the way I'm wired, is I take maybe life a little bit more seriously than I should sometimes. And so that's led me to take a lot of things personally in my life that I should not. You know, it's really, that's the hardest lesson I've learned, is it's not about you. And I think when you, it's easy to say that, but again, it's something you have to really believe and buy into the why behind that. But really, it's just, sometimes it goes down to the fact that, like, it just doesn't, what you do doesn't make any sense for that person. You know, your product doesn't make sense. What you're offering doesn't make sense. Or they might just not be ready, even if it does, and you can't control other people. You know, I think you just have to find the reason that's beyond, oh, I messed up, you know. And sometimes it is going to be that you messed up. But I mean, it's just, when I feel like when you focus on the things that you can control, you know, those types of, those mistakes that you make are going to, they're going to land a lot less difficult. They're not going to hurt as bad. Because you're going to realize, like, a lot of these things are things I can't control. And here's the one thing I could have done. Maybe that could have changed something, but ultimately, you have to identify in our process, we go through, there's an acronym for it. But basically we have three main criteria that we're looking for in a client. Right. And, those are the first three questions. I'm going to get on the phone. I'm going to say, hey, this is Rigo. You know, so-and-so told me you were looking to possibly sell your house. What's got you thinking about selling it? Question number one, you know, is it occupied? Is it vacant? Question number two, what type of shape is it in? And if they tell me, like, oh no, I live here, my house is in great shape, I don't really plan on moving anywhere anytime soon, and you know, I just put a ton of money into it. Well, for me, in the business that we're in, which is buying houses that might need a little bit of work and fixing them up, and you know, people are trying to get this property sold right away, it's probably not going to be my fault that this doesn't work out. You know, because there's things that I can't control. And it's just, you're talking to the wrong person. You're trying to chase, you know, you're trying to chase the wrong rabbit, I guess. So you just, you have to understand what you can influence and what you can't.
Oh, I like that too. And I think kind of going off that point a little bit in terms or in times where you may feel like, oh man, yeah, I bombed that call or I dropped that or, you know, anything like that. I think it's so important. This is stuff that we've talked about in the past is being able to forgive yourself and allowing yourself to say, hey, you know, that happens. It sucks. It hurts. And then just making that concerted effort to say, you know, I forgive myself, learning from it, making the adjustments and moving on. So I think that's, you know, an incredible piece. And so now we are getting to that point of the show where I always say, this is one of my favorites, the bittersweet moment. It's time to cash out. And this is where you, my friend, leave us with the most valuable tip, as if you haven't left us with a ton of valuable tips already. The most valuable tip that you have, leave the people with a little bit of money for the road as we cash out. So what do you have for us today?
Jeez, man. Well, this is what happens. Just as a background, Ben wants to make sure that every conversation is completely unplanned and unscripted.
And also to continue to
and
add.
So I have no idea.
to continue to add to this background, because I think this is very important, is this is episode 14. And for the past 13 episodes, I have given people warning of this question to be asked. That's the only question that I give warning to. And it had crossed my mind to make sure that I tell you this, and for some reason it slipped through the cracks, and that is completely on me. But you're a man who is very talented with thinking on his feet, and so I want you to take it away. Give us your best. The people are eager to hear it. Your best piece of advice for the road.
So my best piece of advice, and what I would really start with anybody, ultimately is you have to figure out what you want. And I think I think the target audience that we're going to be talking to here are people that are getting a little bit older in terms of maybe juniors or seniors in college. They're going to start to be thinking about the next steps in their lives. And it's kind of tough to know what you're going to do next and what's the perfect job that I should be looking for, you know, all that stuff to get me from 0 to 100 as fast as possible. Just get me where I want to go. And sometimes people don't even know where they want to go. But I really think that for me, I knew the general idea, even if it's not the actual professional job that I wanted, the role I wanted, the title, the industry, I knew what I wanted my life to sort of look like. And I think a lot of people have a general idea about that. They may not have all the everything totally, you know, planned out, but you have a general vague idea like, hey, you know what? Maybe like making a lot of money is important to me. Maybe it's not. You know, maybe having a family is really important to me. Maybe it's not yet, you know, things like that. And, I think just even knowing those vague things can really start to help you at least narrow down the list of potential options, that are going to, even if it's not right away, going to check all the boxes, at least give you some sort of path towards that, or some sort of opportunity to learn. How to work your way towards that, you know? So for me, an easy example is I knew I wanted to, one, learn how to influence people. I wanted to learn how to be influential, how to be able to lead people to a certain vision, persuade people to understand that vision. And two, I knew I wanted to be able to make some sort of decent salary. And so I went in, everything I've looked for is a sales job. I haven't earned a single regular paycheck, you know, in my career. It's straight 100% commission. And a lot of people would say, absolutely not, no way, you know, and they're probably smart for saying that, you know, but it is what it is, man. And I think just having that vague idea and just going out and pursuing it, even if it's not going to be maybe the dream job right away, which I know, you know, for me, it wasn't the first thing I did. And who knows where I'll end up. I think don't put so much pressure on knowing the nitty gritty details of your actual career, but just know what type of life you want and then go out there and try to create it. You know, and it's going to take time and patience. So don't get discouraged if, you know, your first job is not what you envision yourself doing. And when you're 45, 50 years old from now at the peak of your career.
And also the last thing that I'll add to that is don't hang around friends that will leave you out to dry like I did here. But Rigo, you did an absolutely amazing job as expected with that. A lot of valuable pieces of advice throughout, and you know, a good little chunk of change for the road in that cashing out segment. So as always, I appreciate you coming on. Always great talking with you, and look forward to watching you crush it in all of your endeavors. So thank you, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Same to you.